I preached on I'm running out of short messages. I'm going to be honest with you. I preached on the shortest verse in the Bible, November the 17th, 2013, Jesus wept. And I preached on the shortest chapter in the Bible. That was the title of my message. On January the 22nd, 2017, Psalm 117. That's the shortest chapter in all the Bible. And the shortest book in the Bible, preached on that, that's John, 3rd John chapter 1. Just one chapter, 13 verses. So I'm running out of short verses. Having a hard time finding them. So I thought I'd preach tonight on a short message. That's all I got. Y'all need something else? Now I got a little bit more. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, I found the shortest message, I believe, in the Bible. I know it's the shortest cry in all the Bible because I've checked it. But I believe it's the shortest message in all the Bible. And I'm running out of short messages. This might be my last one, by the way. Matthew chapter 14. And Peter walks on the water with the Lord. Verse 28, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried and he said, Lord, save me. I believe that is the shortest message in the Bible. I know it's the shortest cry because I checked that with my Bible. But I know it's only 10 letters is all it is. It's 2 4-letter words. It's all single syllable words. And 1 2-letter word. It's just, Lord, save me. And I mean, it's the shortest message in all the Bible. And I'm just going to give you a few things why it's so short. Number one is because of the subject. Lord! See, when you get in trouble, there's not a whole lot of many folks you're going to be able to call on, Brother Lucian. And when Peter looked around and saw the wind was boisterous and he got sinking, he didn't call on Donald Trump, amen? He didn't call on Nero. He didn't call the president. He didn't even call his mama. There was only one that he could call. It was a short message because there was only one that he could call on that time. And you know what? When we get down in life and things get going on and things get tough, I'm going to tell you there's only one that we can call on. Amen. And it is Lord, not just Jesus. Notice what he said. He said, Lord. You know why this is such a short message? Because there's only a short one you can call. Neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Remember though, Saul of Tarsus over in Acts chapter 9, Saul made havoc of the church, threatenings and slaughter of the church and all that. And on the road to Damascus, remember what happened? He saw that light. And the first word that come out of his mouth was what? Lord, who art thou? I want to tell you, brother, when you get in trouble, there's only one word. It's a short message because of the subject, and it is Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember that old dying thief over there in Luke chapter 23? He's up there, you know, and those two thieves are there, and the Bible said he was numbered with the transgressors, and there were two malefactors, one on the left, one on the right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And the Bible said the one on the right, he began to rail against him and said, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross and save thyself and us. And the one on the right, the Bible said he rebuked him and he said, dost thou not fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation and we indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And the Bible said he looked over to Jesus and he said that magic word, Lord. Lord, remember me when I comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with paradise. You know what did it? It was that Lord, see. You know what? All the new Bibles, they're Jehovah Witness Bibles. If you know anybody got an ESV, ask them. Say, I didn't know you was a Jehovah Witness. Because you have a Jehovah Witness Bible. If you got an NIV, say, where did you join the Jehovah Witnesses? And take them over to 1 Timothy 3:18 where it takes God out. That's what Jehovah Witness Bible does. Hey, and you know what? The Jehovah Witness Bible takes the word Lord out in Luke 23. You know what the ESV says? Jesus, remember me. Jesus will not get you saved, brother, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. ESV, Holman Christian, Message, NIV, NLT, RSV, they're all Jehovah Witness Bibles. They take out the Lordship of Jesus Christ right there. Ask them. Say, when did you join the Jehovah Witness? I'm not a Jehovah Witness. What are you carrying the Jehovah Witness Bible for? Tax the Lord Jesus. There's the subject. You know why it's such a short message? Because of subject. There's not a whole lot of multiple choice, brother, when you get in trouble. Number one, let me just say there's the subject. It's short because of the subject. Not only that, there's something else. Let me give you one more on that. One of our church verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 2, get 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, the subject of this church is one thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Pearl Lake Baptist. It's not Terry Watkins. It's not Anthony Zito. There's one thing here and one subject only, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, period. That's all we're after in this church. And look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the verse that's on our sign by the road. This is on some of our tracts. This is kind of our church verse. This is what we're trying to do. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hey, you know why it's a short message, Brother Lucian? Because it's got a short subject. It is Lord. A few years ago, you know, had all those Chilean miners that fell down in that mine. It's about, what is it, 53 of them? Bunch of them. Y'all remember that? And they went in that mine. They put microphones down there, you know, and everything. And they rescued them. Y'all remember what they came up with? They come up with shirts that said, Lord Jesus on it. And they were down there. You know what they said? I read about it. I'll give you to hear. They did down there, and they got praying, Brother Brian, and they said, we had a revival down there. You say, why? I'm going to tell you, when you get in trouble, there's only one subject you can call on, and that is Lord. Amen. That's a short message. It's not only there's a subject, I see the verb. I'm giving y'all an English lesson tonight, see. I got an English teacher right over here. I have to be on my toes, Brother Lucian. I got a doctor here and a teacher over here. So she's over here taking names already. I've been noticing who's acting up. So it's a verb. You know what a verb is? Well, I looked it up. Here it is. It's a word that characteristically is a grammatical center of a predicate that expresses an act, occurrence, and mode of being that in various languages it inflected for argument in agreement with subject, for tense, for voice, for mood, or for aspect, and that typically has full descriptive meaning and characteristically quality, but is sometimes nearly devoid of these, especially when used as an auxiliary verb. Anybody understand that?
Action word.
It left me with the first part when you said a word. But I got a better, that's what the description on the internet said, one of them. And it says a word used to describe an action or a state forming the main part of a sentence. You know what the verb in that sentence is? Save. Lord, the subject, save is the verb. You know what the Lord does? He saves. Lord, save me. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know what the Lord does, Brother Anthony? He saves people. That's what this church is trying to do. That's why we go to Walmart. I don't like going to Walmart. I was telling my wife the other day after we came back, I said, I rarely stop. I always give out tracts, but they're zooming by, see. I'm trying to get in that place as quick and fast as I can get it. I know where everything's at in the trustful one. That one the other day I didn't. But other day I slowed down and talked with people, and it helped me. I thought, I got to do this more. Because, brother, when I go to Walmart, I'm getting in that cursed place and get out quick as I can. But when I slow down, you know what? I'm trying to get somebody saved.
There you go. I'm on that.
And the Lord told me after we left there that night, Brother Anthony, the Lord said, buddy, you need to slow down a little bit and quit just giving out a track and slow down and talk to them and try to get them saved, because that's what He's about. Hey. He's in the saving business. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what we do in this church? We try to get people saved. We don't have many in here. We usually have a couple more, but not many. I tell you all the time, I tell him, Brother Lucian, I told him this morning, I'm not looking for quantity, I'm looking for quality.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking for the people that want to do something for God.
Yes.
You know what this is about? Trying to pull them out of the fire.
Amen.
You know what the action is? You know what that verb is? Lord, save! I'm in the saving business. I'm not in the stoning business. I tell you all the time, I'm trying to get people out of hell is what I'm trying to do.
Amen.
I talked to this preacher Friday, got a church down the street from where I live. He's a good guy. Love this guy in the Lord. Been pastoring about 45 years, Brother Lucian. Got a nice church. I mean, it's got a beautification ward out there. And beautiful building. Nice, man. I mean, he's got a nice facilities in the back. He has a Sunday morning service. His Wednesday night service, he told me, he said, that dried up a long time ago. Sunday night dried up a long time ago. I saw him Friday, went by there on the way home, coming home from Walmart, saw his car was there and dropped by and talked to him for a while. He said last Sunday he had 21. That church was booming one day. He was telling me what he told me. He said, I'll tell you, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. And he said, I wouldn't tell this to nobody but a preacher, because you know. He said, but I'll tell you right now. He said, I don't even feel relevant anymore. He said, I don't know if I'm doing any good, anything anymore. And I asked him, I said, when's the last time you went out and took some tracks and went around the neighborhood? He said, brother, I quit that a long time ago. He said, I didn't see any fruit. You see, if you just make it in this building, this is irrelevant.
Right.
Not a whole lot goes on. I told him, I said, preacher, I'm fixing to meet a bunch of people at church at 5:30. We're going to have Mexican food, and we're going to go invade Walmart and try to pull some people out of hell.
Yep.
And I said, then on Saturday, we go out and preach and knock on doors. I said, we're relevant. We're trying to pull them out of hell. I mean, if we just came in this building and sat around like a bunch of frogs on a log, we would be irrelevant. Do you know what it's about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Lord, save me.
Yes.
That action verb, salvation, getting people saved. I told him, I said, we got buttons. I said, I got people that wear buttons. I said, that button's got enough scripture to get them saved. I said, we got bumper stickers. We got signs on the road. I said, man, we're relevant. If I ever get like that preacher, I just assume God take me home. Now, if I look at this right here, this is irrelevant. But when I go out that door, when I'm at Walmart and we're out there the other night and we invaded that thing like a bunch of ducks on a bunch of June bugs, brother, I was watching them. As this one guy, he had a beard down to about here, Brother Lucian. He had overalls. I followed him, Miss Samantha. I was really zeroing in on this guy. He turned this way. He is in a hurry, you know. I could tell you, like a farmer with overalls. 72 years old. And boy, I kept trying to get him. I found out what was going on. He's looking for his wife. That's what he told me. But I finally cornered him. And he didn't look like he was going to smile. And I saw him. I said, well, hello there, Farmer John. How you doing? He laughed. I said, you got the clothes on for a farmer? He said, I'm not a farmer. Hey, I said, I just got the clothes on. But he is a nice guy. I got talking to him a little bit. Said he is saved. I believe him. He said, man, I'm out here trying to find my wife. I said, I've been looking for mine for an hour or two. I had been. Hey, listen, man, you say, well, I'm just trying to be relevant. Lord, save me. There's the subject. Lord, that's relevant. There's the verb. Save. Save me. Billy Graham, last will and testament. I loved it. Read it this morning. Remember Bill O'Reilly? He said Jesus was crucified for three reasons. Taxes, taxes, taxes. He's a dummy, dummy, dummy. Amen. Jesus Christ died for my sins, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Billy Graham in his will said this, last will. Jesus, he said this. Oh man, I might miss that one. Well, it was good. I don't have it. That was good. I had that marked down there. Hey, wait. I do have it right here. Here's what Billy Graham said on his will and testament. I ask my children and grandchildren to maintain and defend at all hazards, at any cost of personal sacrifice, the blessed doctrine of complete atonement for sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ once offered. And through that alone, and I urge all of you to walk with the Lord in a life of separation from the world and to keep eternal values in view. Amen. You say, why? I want to tell you, brother, because he saves people. There's a subject. Lord, there's the verb. Save. And then there's the direct object. Me. Isn't that good? You know what a direct object is? It's a noun or phrase denoting a person or thing that is the recipient of the action of the verb. Woo-hoo! That ought to make a Baptist shout right there. I want to tell you, I'm the recipient of that verb. I'm the one that got saved. Glory to God. It was me. I'm the direct object. Peter said, Lord, save John over here. That won't get it, will it? Lord, save me. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. You see, this thing don't get good till it hits me. I love John 3:16. The gospel in a nutshell. One guy named Henry Morehouse, Brother Lucian. That's the only text he ever used was John 3:16. He had 500 messages. 500 on John 3:16. That's all he ever did. One text. That's a great verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But as beautiful and as great as that verse is, Miss Liz, until it hits that direct object, me, is useless. When I usually witness somebody and I use John 3:16, Miss Martha, I'll ask them their name. And then when it gets for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I'll say, for Chris shall call upon the name of the Lord. See, until he hits that direct object, me, is no good. It's a short message. Subject short, the verb is saved, and that direct object is, it's me. It's all about me. You know when that dying thief's on the cross, remember him? He said, Lord, remember me. You see, when that direct object hits you, that thing gets real. That's what happens to a lot of people, by the way. They sit in church and they'll hear the gospel and they'll hear the gospel and they'll say, boy, that's wonderful, but it never hits them. Boy, when it hits you, like Brother Lucian was talking about, he heard it there at the church and he got in the car and it hit him. When it hits me, that's real. Sarah Lee, I always kiss Sarah Lee over here, my daughter. She's my honey bud. And she'll go in there and she'll start making a cake, Miss Kathy. And she'll start sometime at 10:30, 11 o'clock. We're ready to go to bed. We're sitting there. And all of a sudden we hear, what are you doing, Sarah? I'm making a cake. She don't have no sense of time. She don't care. And I'll say, she'll get through, and here's what I'll say a lot of times. I'll say, Sarah, thanks for making me a cake. She'll say, I didn't make it for you, I made it for me. I said, that's what I said, thanks for making me a cake. She'll say, but I made it for me. I said, that's what I said. I said, you made it for me. And we'll go around with that for a while. And finally she'll say, no, I made it for me, Sarah Watkins. And you know what, Miss Kathy? When I got saved, it was about me, Stephen Terry Watkins. Hit me. Amen. And that's when it gets good.
Amen.
Oh, John Wesley, he is one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. His journal, John Wesley, is great. You've never read that, Brother Lucian. I've read that thing probably 4 or 5 times. And John Wesley went over to Georgia to the Indians, tried to lead them to the Lord, tried to convert them, but he wasn't saved. And he said in his journals, wrote this, he said, I went to convert the heathen, but oh, who will convert me? Wouldn't even say, trying to work his way for salvation. Coming back on the ship from Georgia, trying to get to those Indians. On the ship, there came a big storm through that thing. And he thought that ship was going down. And the wind was blowing it over and the water was coming on. And on that ship was a bunch of German Moravians. And these are radical Bible believers. You know these guys. I mean, Peter Boyler, he was one of them, and Count von Zinzendorf was on there on that ship. And man, they thought the ship was going down, and they're running up and down the deck. Glory to God! Woo! Let's go! I'm getting ready to leave this world! And they're turning flips, man. Thought they were going to meet the Lord. John Wesley scared to death. The storm passed by. John Wesley came up to Peter Boyler and asked him, he said, man, how can you be so sure of your salvation? How can you know? Peter Boyle asked him, he said, do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? Wesley said, man, I believe Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He said, that's not what I ask you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? And that's what hit old John Wesley. And he got saved right there.
Amen.
You see, it's no good till you get that direct object, me. I talked with one of the guys at Walmart the other night. This guy was a blessing. He had a big old white mustache, big old one, and big old handlebar deals, you know. Had an Alabama cap on. Looked like a man's man, Brother Dot, man. I guarantee he could lay it out. He was a retired policeman, Brother Lucian. His daddy was a pastor, Baptist pastor. His brother was a Baptist pastor. He grew up in church. And I got talking to this guy. I couldn't get away from him after a while. He gave me his testimony. He began to cry about it. He said, I went to church all my life. What are you telling me? He said, my daddy was a pastor. My brother was a pastor. He said, when I was a teenager, like all of them, he said, I went down the aisle, shook the preacher's head, and everybody said I got saved. He said, I was lost as a goose. He said, I got saved at 72. He said, I got saved in 2009. He said, a preacher came in there and evangelized in that church. He said, some of you in here, you're not saved and you're going to hell. And he said, that evangelist was looking right at him. And he said, I was making deals with the Lord. He said, Lord, if I get up and go down that altar, everybody in the church is going to think I'm a liar. Because everybody in there thinks I'm saved. He said, I tire them here every time the door opens. And he said, the evangelist said, some of you right now are trying to make a deal with God. He said, I'm telling you right now, you're making a deal with the devil is what you're doing. He told me, he said, uh-oh. He said, you know what, preacher? He said, that thing began to hit me. And he said, once it hit me, he said, I got up out of that altar and went down it.
Amen.
You see, brother, when that direct object, when that thing, Lord, save me. Brother, when that thing hits you, that's when it's real. And he said to me, he said, that thing hit me that night. Short message, wasn't it? About 30 minutes, 25. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for our salvation. Lord, thank you, Lord, it is a short message. Lord, save me. And Lord, that's enough right there to save the world. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the folks that come out tonight. A lot of people not here tonight, couldn't make it for whatever reason. Some of them out of town, so I'm not feeling well, things, Lord. But I just pray your blessing upon the rest of the service tonight. Pray for our food. Thank you for these ladies, the men, the people that had a part in it, Lord, to get this a little bit ready tonight, just that we can have a little bit of food and fellowship and a little bit of time with you tonight, Lord, just to enjoy your presence and our fellowship. Lord, pray your blessing on the week coming up. Lord, give us that soul that's nearest hell that we're around, Lord. Put a burden on us, Lord. God, just help us, Lord, to be faithful wherever we're at, Lord. Be a witness for you. We never know how close that person is to hell. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon the food tonight. And Lord, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go eat. Let's go eat.